This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The day today is May 21, 1982. The interview is taking place in Portland, Oregon, and is being conducted by Donna Maloney. What is your full name?
Agnes Johanna. Well, dear hug now.
Uh-huh.
But
what was your maiden name?
Agnes Johanna Peterson, Overson Peterson Berg Deerhaug.
Oh, that's a lot of names. How do you spell your last name now?
D-Y-R-H-A-U-G. Mm-hmm. You know what that means?
No.
Animal Hill.
The
animals, they put the animals mm-hmm. out so they can raise the grass, you know, mm-hmm. around home. And that's where they used to lie down at night.
Uh-huh.
Animal Hill.
Uh-huh.
Deer is animal, hog is hill.
And then your husband's family took that name.
Yeah.
Had that been changed at any time, or was that the original family name?
Most everybody has two names. Mm-hmm. It was Peter Larsen Deerhaug.
Mm-hmm.
But in Norway, we went by the name of Ovesen, because my grandfather's name was Ovi. Mm-hmm. But when my uncles came here, and they didn't know how to spell English,
mm-hmm.
Ovesen, they didn't know how, couldn't spell it. So, but Peterson, everybody could spell Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Ovi Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
That's so we got to be Peterson.
Mm-hmm. So that was your maiden name then, was Peterson. Okay. When and where were you born?
I was born on July the 11th, 1896, at a place called Nordstatland. It's close to Namsos, between Namsos and Trondheim.
Mm-hmm. Which part of Norway is that?
Well, it's just a little above the center of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Northern Trondheim. Mm-hmm.
What do people do in that area? What kind of work is there?
Well, the place where I lived, they had a sawmill, mostly mm-hmm. sawmill, and then they had fishing. And there were farms around there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
Well, both my mother and father were Petersons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
You know, of course, in Norway, my father's name was Olsen. Mm-hmm. But Mama was Peterson, and he took Peterson later on, you know, when he came here.
Mm-hmm. I see. What kind of work did your father do in Norway?
He worked in a sawmill in Norway.
Mm-hmm. Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had four brothers and two sisters.
Mm-hmm. What were their names?
My oldest brother was named Ole. And then the next one's name was Johan.
Mm-hmm.
Johan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Wilhelmine.
Mm-hmm.
And we were born in Norway, the first four of us. Then there were three born here, and the oldest one that was born here, his name was Paul, and then Helen and Earl.
Okay. Do you remember your grandparents?
Oh, yes. Of course, I only remember Mama's mother, because her father died when she was a young girl.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what kind of work your grandfather had done?
My father's father just did fishing. He was crippled
mm-hmm.
when he was a young man. And, you know, he was a father of 11 children, and when the second child was born, he was out cutting wood. And he fell off a hill, a haug,
mm-hmm.
and it split his heel, and he never healed, and he wasn't ever able to stand on it for more than a minute or two. So he would fish, mm-hmm. specialized in fishing red snapper.
What about your mother's father then?
I don't know what he. I think he was a carpenter, mm-hmm. but I'm not positive.
Mm-hmm.
I know his brother was a carpenter, because my father bought a house from him.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about your grandmother? Do you have any special memories?
Well, Mama's mother, I didn't see so much of her. She didn't live at the same place as we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember her hair. She had a long braid. She could sit on it.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And she had not an easy life. She could read, but she could. She was well enough in, well, you could get as much education and stuff as your position in life, you know. If you were very poor, you hardly didn't learn anything and so forth. But she could read, but she wasn't wealthy enough, so she couldn't write. Well, of course, that changed when my mother said, at my mother's time, everybody learned to read and write.
What about your father's mother then? Did you know anything of her?
She was just a little housewife. I can remember cooking fish and potatoes. And they lived in our house. It's the house that my father bought from his mama's uncle. He was a carpenter, and it was a big carpenter's shop built onto the house. And then grandma and grandpa lived in, they made that into an apartment for them. So they lived there right with us. And his grandpa's big deal besides fishing was to chop wood. And every time we took an armload of wood into the house, he went out and chopped and put it back some more.
So you always had a supply.
Yeah, and I remember grandma had goats. I remember her milking the goats.
Can you describe what the house was like inside?
Well, it was a good size. We had, downstairs was a kitchen and a big living room and a pantry. And then it had a one bedroom, and then upstairs there were three bedrooms.
What has happened to that house? Do you know?
It burnt.
Oh, it did.
When I was back, the first time I came back to Norway, it already burnt down.
Do you remember Christmas when you were a child?
Oh, yes.
What was that like?
I can remember the first Christmas my dad was gone. That was a hard Christmas. Because Christmas, my mother was a dressmaker. So she sold a lot. And I can remember she made clothes for young boys' clothes, more so than anything else. She was the only one in that little community that made the boys' suits. And we were supposed to have everything brand new on Christmas Eve. Everybody had a bath in a wooden tub, you know, and put all new clothes on. And one Christmas, one garment she didn't get ready for one of my brothers, and I think she grieved about that for days. And that was the first Christmas my father was gone. And then we have, for Christmas Eve, we usually, they had remigret, you know what that is?
No, I don't.
It's a cream mush, made from cream.
I do know what it is then. It's
very expensive.
Thick.
And we, very common, ordinary people could hardly ever afford to have it unless you had a farm and had your own. So they used to make a rice pudding, and then they put a layer of cream pudding on top. And I can remember we were sitting eating this, and my second oldest brother, he has a little cliff in here, you know. And the milk rang and right through here. And he said, "Oh, Mama," says, "wouldn't Papa have a good time laughing at seeing that milk running through the..." I can remember that was for that Christmas. But I don't remember too many. I remember trimming the Christmas tree, and I remember making decorations. We made a lot of decorations, a lot of chains from colored paper. I guess you heard that before. And little baskets that we weave in and out, and fill them with cookies.
And then what foods? You'd have this a rice pudding or a cream pudding. Well, any other special foods you remember time?
Well, they started to bake in October for Christmas, you know. Everything from lefse, you know what lefse is?
Yes, potato pancakes kind of.
Not the kind I make.
No.
I'll tell you what that is. And not normally, just... But they let us kids drink coffee.
Was that just a Christmas time or all?
Oh, no, we got coffee whenever the rest of them had coffee, we did too.
Do you remember any other holidays, any other celebrations you had during the year?
Oh, yes, 17th of May.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
That's the same as the 4th of July here. We have get our flags out and parade. Mm-hmm. Kids were all going in a row, one after the other, because we were, where I came from, there weren't, maybe 500 people, maybe not many more. We had two grocery stores, and then we shipped out a lot of lumber from there. We had it from the sawmill. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing I do remember, that was in 1905, before I left, and this before that time, they made prefabricated houses there at this place, and they put them on the boats and took them all apart, put them on the boats and shipped them up north to northern Norway where they didn't have lumber. But they made these houses that didn't use hardly any nails, they cut. And you know, I was a grown-up woman before that I heard of making prefabricated houses in the United States.
Well, what year would that have been that you, when would that have been then that you remember them making those prefabricated houses?
In Norway?
Yes.
About 1904, 1903.
Well, for goodness sakes. Yes.
And I just stacked them up and put them on. Well, and we had lots of Spanish and French boats come in because they've specialized in these small things, or like you make boxes out of, like apple boxes and stuff like that. They came up from to pack their wine, and these French and Spaniards came up and bought boxes from us. And then we'd have a lot of fun. They'd try to talk to us because they didn't bother much with me. I was just a little kid. But I had ears and eyes, and I could see they were flirting with the other older girls. And because nobody understood each other, but some more commotion going on.
Did you go to school then in
Norway? I went to school in Norway. Well, I went 1 year.
Then when did you come to America?
What time of the year?
Yeah, no, when, what year did you come to the
1905.
U.S.? All right, how old were you then?
Nine.
Who did you come with?
My mother and my sister and two brothers. And an aunt of mine came with us.
Your father had come here before that?
No, my father was here 3.5 years when we came. He came here to fish in Astoria, you know. Gonna be a millionaire.
So then he worked and then sent for you.
Yeah, then he became a carpenter. He started, he stopped fishing and the carpenter worked for years and years. Then he bought a farm.
In Astoria.
In Napa, Oregon. Just a little, few miles this side of Astoria.
But do you remember when you left Norway then, how did you feel leaving?
Well, I didn't think too much. I was going, as long as I was with my mother, I was okay. I didn't want to come. I tried not to have to. I was talking about my two brothers. They couldn't wait. They was just ready to start off a long time there because they want to see their dad. But I wasn't too anxious to go because we heard so many terrible tales about how the people were, you know, they'd laugh at her that some of the things. We believed like this: if you were coming along on a fence and you have to put your hand on your fence and it was in somebody's way, they didn't tell you to take it off; they chopped it off.
You know, no wonder you didn't want to come.
No. Well, we were afraid. Well, you know. That was in 1905. In 1955, I was in New York, and I come there. It was cold when I left Portland, and it was really, really warm in New York. But I had a wool suit on, and so I was carrying that on my arm, and I had a light bulb. I went into one of those dime stores for something, and she says, "My goodness, why are you wearing a wool coat today?" So I told her I came where I left and I put this coat on. It was pretty chilly. And so she said, "Where did you come from?" I said, "I came from Oregon on the West Coast." I said, some of our touches the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she says, aren't you afraid to live there? How many Indians, do you bump into Indians every day? I says, no. And she says, well, I thought they were just run around the street there with their bows and arrows.
Oh, and this is 1955.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. I figured, boy, if we thought that way 1905 in Norway, well, they didn't want much better in the United States in 55.
No. Do you remember what kinds of things your mother brought?
Well, we didn't take too much. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we had a lot of clothes,
mm-hmm.
had some wooden boxes. And then we got gifts, going away gifts to sell, because we had to take that. But not very much more than that besides the clothes.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents sell their place there then?
Yes, mm-hmm. my mother sold the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, one thing though, we were not allowed to take food, you know, and certain kinds of food. Well, somebody come and got a goat cheese, mm-hmm. you know what that is, mm-hmm. Got a great big goat cheese for my dad. And so it was the last thing we got, I think, before we left. So it got to be on top of the box. So I can remember Mom was also talking about that they, before they opened the box, they explained that if you find food, they're going to, you know, we couldn't mm-hmm. take it, they take it out. Or we had to pay, you know, for taking it in. First thing they opened up there was a big cheese.
Oh dear.
So that was kind of funny.
Uh-huh.
When they treated us just like cattle.
What do you remember about coming over on the ship and when you got to New York?
I remember I saw a lot of things I'm not supposed to see.
Oh, is that right? Oh. Yeah, was it like on the ship?
Well, it was, you know, we were 8 or 10 days. Now see, we left. Yeah, it was over 10 days. We were about 11 days, I think, I'm going across. And that's a long time, you know, see the same people mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember this. My dad sent money home for us to go second class. Now that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then my aunt wanted to come with us. And then there wasn't enough money for two people to go first class, two grown-up people and four children. So we had to take third class. Well, when we were on top of deck, I see those people up there, you know, second class, marching around in the sun and looking so elegant. And, you know, I said, that's where I was supposed to be, you know. It just bothered me. And, but of course I never got there. But one day we had a little storm. And I got up on deck by myself. There was nothing on the top deck. It was no danger above the one above us. Nobody up there. I decided I'd go up and see where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the boat was big, straight up and down ladders.
Mm-hmm.
I crawled up that thing, and the wind blew and blew, but I was on the side, so it blew me against the ship, so that kind of stopped it. Well, I got up there, and I got over on the other side, and I was going to start to come down, but that was a different story. The wind blew me over the water, and I couldn't hang on. And there I was. And just as I guess I was either giving up or what, I don't know, I can't remember that. They have these great big canvases covering the luggage, on tied. A rope broke, and the water came running down to the floor below where all the other people were. I was the only one on deck.
Mm-hmm.
And up comes a man, and he saw me hanging up there, one of the crewmen, and he saved my life.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
I was supposed to have this conversation with you, so I had to live.
I guess so. I guess so. Then did they have a dining room?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. How was the food?
Oh, what kind of food were we used to? When someone, we have a little difficulty in letting know what we wanted. The cooks were all Danish. Mm-hmm. Of course, Norwich and Danish is very much alike, but mm-hmm. there are some. Like, was a lady there that we were companion with. She wanted soft-boiled eggs for her little child. And she said it in Norwegian. She said, blurt That means soft in Norwegian, soft egg. Look. And he thought, she said, rött, that means red. Here she got the egg and it was all red.
Oh, goodness. Did you come into New York then?
Yes.
Yes. Did you, what do you remember about first getting
there? Well, we got us up early that morning. If we could make it the dock by 7 o'clock, they would let us go ashore. Mm-hmm. If we couldn't get to the dock before 7, we'd have to wait till next day.
Mm-hmm.
But so they got us up and we got an elegant breakfast that day. That was the best breakfast mm-hmm. we had.
Uh-huh.
And everybody dressed and excited. And, oh, I saw the Statue of Liberty. I thought I could understand what that was, but mm-hmm. I looked at it a long time. Mm-hmm. And we got ashore and then they put us through the castle garden. And we got on the train the same day. But that was, they had a World's Fair in Portland mm-hmm. in that year. And this was in August, you know, and that's when vacation times are. So we had a long time coming across, because every time the train got too long, they would put us up, took our cars off a little bit and let those that could talk English and, mm-hmm. and explain what mm-hmm. they wanted, went on.
Mm-hmm. Were there quite a few Norwegian people on the train when you came?
Well, of course, coaches that we were practically all immigrants coming.
Mm-hmm.
They had us together.
And someone else told me it was like, it was called the immigrant train, and they would...
Well, yeah, but they were, we had others, it was stop, and you know, and we were four children, and mm-hmm. two grown-ups, and then there was a lady with two smaller children that was traveling with us, and we would run out of food. You know, they asked how far we were going. I can remember hearing that. So my mother said, Astoria, Oregon. I said, oh my, they talk Norwegian to her. Mm-hmm. We needed so much food. We got a sack of food, it cost $1 a piece, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly summer sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, that didn't last us, and we had to have milk for the children, and it was up to my mother to do the shopping. And she'd watch when the train would go to get filled with water, you know. Then she would go run off and try to find food for us, because she knew the train, the engine would be gone a while. And of course, in Chicago, we stayed over long enough. We went out to eat, and in St. Paul, Norwegians came to the depot and asked if we'd like to go out for dinner, because mm-hmm. they take us places and they got commission on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there were Norwegian people that were there wanting to help those.
Yes,
they were coming. Was it an organization, or was it just private?
Only in Chicago and St. Paul.
Uh-huh. I wonder who sponsored that.
And I remember in St. Paul we had meatballs. That was a real favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And they had toothpicks on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was the funniest thing. I look at my brothers, and he looked at me and says, pointed. We saw it was wood.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really eat that here?
Well, then you came on to Astoria by train?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And did your father...
We were supposed to go through Portland and to Astoria. That's the way my dad told us we should go. And he says when we were in Portland, we should change, put our my new clothes on,
mm-hmm.
you know, what my mother had been traveling in. But our train was late, so we ferried across at Rainier.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came at 12 o'clock at night into Rainier, pitch dark, a little hole of a depot for us to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, younger sister, got very ill. We never thought she'd live through the night. And in the morning we were hungry and everything. But my mother had at one time done some work for some people that had been in the United States. So she had learned a word or two. She knew how to order coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And she went out to look and she saw a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's almost the same as in Norwegian. We say restaurant instead of restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided that must be a place to eat. So we all started over there, sat down, and they come to want to know what we're going to eat. All Mama could say in English was coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they looked kind of funny, a bunch of kids and coffee. And here comes a man over to us, and he says, are you coming from Norway? And she says, Mama says, yes, but she says, it makes no difference where we come from. If you can talk Norwegian, help us to get food. And it happened so that he knew my dad.
Oh, my.
And he had met him somewhere anyway. So he orders a nice breakfast for us and sends a telegram to my dad in Astoria that we were coming down on that train. But my dad didn't expect us till the next Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So here we come a little early. Yeah. But of course he had a home all ready for us. Mm-hmm. So that part was all right.
Mm-hmm. So when
we were sitting on the train, you know, at those days, all the people that go to the coast and seaside and down the coast, you know, they take the women, the family would be down there, and then the men would come down, you know, from business on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So it was all business people, you know, and then there we were talking Norwegian. And one man had some chewing gum he gave us. Oh, mm-hmm. That was something. We had never seen chewing gum in a package. We had chewing gum, but we didn't get it in packages. Uh-huh. We picked it ourselves on the trees.
Uh-huh.
But
what did you, picked it on the trees?
What runs out of the out of certain, on
uh-huh.
certain trees only.
Uh-huh. Like the pitch.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's the only kind of gum we had. But when finally we came to Astoria, and when they hollered Astoria, oh, I just jumped. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. 2 weeks I've been waiting for that name. And I was kind of half asleep, but I woke right up. They had a trestle. The longest trestle in the United States was in Astoria. And of course, it isn't there now. They have put dirt underneath it.
Uh-huh.
But it was the longest trestle in the United States. And we clumped over the water. And I looked at the window, and I said, I have my eyes open wide. I said, Mama, see? That's a man who looks just like Uncle Peter. You know, it was my dad.
Uh-huh.
I never thought about that, but he looked just like my Uncle Peter.
Must have been wonderful to see him.
I could not, but my youngest sister had never seen her dad. She was born 3 months after he left. In order to get here to fish, he had to leave in the earliest. They started fishing mm-hmm. in April,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't born till May,
mm-hmm.
or June, first of June.
That must have been a hard decision for him to make.
Yes,
to
well, he didn't want to go, but mm-hmm. Mama, I can remember Mama telling us that she told him, well, he hadn't helped her very much with the other. She thought she could manage.
Born.
She could manage this too.
Uh-huh.
But
then he was still fishing when you got there too.
No, he had quit fishing.
Uh-huh.
He was
carpenter.
A carpenter.
Uh-huh. And then did you go to school here then?
What?
Did you go to school in Astoria then
yes.
too?
Well, I was here 2 weeks and I had to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
See, that wasn't a very long time to get used to.
No.
But there was a lot of children around. That's the sort of thing that could help you. That lived in homes where the parents couldn't talk English.
Mm-hmm.
And so they spoke Finnish and Finnish and Norwegian and Swedish and
mm-hmm.
Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And one end of Astoria was nothing but everybody. If you couldn't even buy anything in the store if you couldn't talk Finn, because all the clerks were Finnish.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some of the younger ones got in once in a while, but and in the store where I work, we had to have two people that talk Finn in order mm-hmm. else we'd lose their business, lose
mm-hmm.
all the Finnish business.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have that. But
did you ever feel that there was any prejudice against you?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me very unhappy was if somebody made any noise or whispering, and the teacher said, "Who's making talking?" I didn't understand at all, but I just figured that's it. And I stand in the corner, and I didn't know what I was standing for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some of those that were, you know, picky, most picky about that, they would were the ones, but they were, some of them, now I couldn't read, but I could write, mm-hmm. I could add, I could subtract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, this was very hard for like in my case, they had pictures on the wall, and they had a picture that had a word written, T-H-E, mm-hmm. the. Well, if you say the, I could say the too.
Mm-hmm.
Little, spelled out. And she said little, I said little. Then there was a picture of a boy with a blue suit sitting on a green chair. Well, I said, the little. I was lost. Now, those other six-year-olders, they couldn't ever remember the thee and the little. But they could see a little boy in a blue suit sitting on a chair because they saw the picture. Mm-hmm. Well, I was the dumbbell,
mm-hmm.
but I really wasn't, because I learned what the teacher told us. Mm-hmm. They knew what,
mm-hmm.
this, and you know, that it's hard to come.
Oh, yes.
To get that going.
Mm-hmm. Was the language the most difficult thing then, do you feel, when you came?
Well, sometimes when I got to, I was taking geography and gotten up, you know, to that, words that I have never heard pronounced before, I could mispronounce them, something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But like Japan, I said Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody had said it to you before.
Yes.
And they asked me, what's the capital of Wyoming? I said, Sheenie.
Mm-hmm.
So Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And those things were hard to live down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was real. But as I say, I was an older person, older than most of them. There were two others older than I in my class. I could, naturally, we could grasp things. We learned, understood faster than they, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How long was it before you really felt at home then in Astoria?
I can remember the kids, they talked Norwegian to me all the time. Then one day, we were playing outside, I guess it was about 8-9 months. I says, hurry up. Boy, no more Norwegian.
Uh-huh.
All English from then on.
Yeah. Did your mother learn English then?
Oh, she didn't learn. She learned some, but she, not too much until she moved on the farm. There were no Norwegians around there, so she liked
then.
To talk like me.
Sure. Did you? There were quite a few Chinese there too, weren't there in Astoria?
Yes.
Chinese people working in the canneries.
Yes, but...
Yeah. Did you have any contact with them at
well,
all?
Well, not until I began working, worked in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Then how long did you go to school?
Eight years.
Uh-huh.
And in those days, you could get a high school diploma in 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and you could go to college after 2 years of high school. Mm-hmm. But I took a commercial
mm-hmm.
course in high school that was 2 years, so I made it all in 8 years.
I see. Then you went to work then and after?
Then I went to work as a bookkeeper
mm-hmm.
for Hawkeys. And so I worked there till I got married. In those days when you got married, you know, women didn't work any. They went, became housekeepers and mothers.
Yes. So then you met your husband there in Astoria and
yes.
were married there in Astoria.
Yes. I knew his brother a long time before I met him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was Norwegian?
Yeah, oh, yes.
But what was his name?
His name was Berg.
B-E-R-G. Mm-hmm. What was his first name?
Marinus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went by... Nobody called him. They all call him Berg.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody could pronounce Marinus was such a hard name.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I always laughed. This is the kid, my second husband. Berg means mountain.
Mm-hmm.
See, I said, when I married you, I says, I came down. I wasn't a mountain, but now I'm just a hill.
What was your wedding like?
My first wedding was on a farm.
Uh-huh.
And we were prepared. It was out in the apple orchard. If they it should rain, it was all prepared. So we're going to have it up in the a barn loft,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there was no hay, and I was married in July.
Mm-hmm. Was this your parents' farm?
Mm-hmm.
This is after they had left Astoria.
Yes.
And moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, then...
What was your dress like? Do you remember?
I had a white, beautiful white wool suit.
Uh-huh.
It had been ordered by one of the fashionable ladies of Astoria had it made to order, and it didn't come in time for the wedding. And it was just my size, and I got a good buy.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
So we came to Portland for our honeymoon and stayed with my husband's brother for a few days. And we went back to Astoria by boat. Mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting, nice to go down the Columbia River by boat. I've done that two times only. Uh-huh.
What work did your husband do?
Your first
husband.
He also was a carpenter and a contractor.
Mm-hmm. And you lived there in Astoria for some time?
Well, we lived there for 5 years after we were married. Mm-hmm. We were married in 1917 and moved here to 22. Mm-hmm. But he had lived here in Portland before, so he was acquainted.
Had he come from Norway? Was he born here?
No,
or
he came from Norway.
Mm-hmm. Did he come alone or with his family? No.
He came on a boat and he jumped boat.
Oh, he was a sailor?
No, he wasn't. He just was working on a boat.
Oh, he was working on a boat.
Back there you have to be, everybody has to take military service for so long. Well, if you want to go in the Navy, you could do it all at one term. If you wanted an Army, you had to take it in 3 different years. So he wanted to get it over with. So he went to sea. They wouldn't take you in the Navy unless you had experience. And when he come to pass his examination, he had a dislocated shoulder, so he didn't get to go. Uh-huh. And so then he kind of liked this. He had to find a boat, he could go to the United States. So he thought, that's where I'm going to, don't have to pay my fare.
Yes. So he got a stowaway. Okay. Then did you have children?
What?
Did you have children?
Me?
Yeah.
I had a son and a daughter, but my son died. He wrecked his life in the World War II.
Oh, dear.
He was a pilot. He flew over 60 missions.
Is that right? And did his plane
crash? And not one got killed of all the people that were with him.
Oh, my.
He was in Africa. He was in Saipan and all there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he was working in the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he worked for the United States government in Europe. He was stationed in headquarters in Germany for a long time after the war. And then that came back over here. He was the youngest, or not, I won't say the youngest, but the lowest commission officer up to that time that had ever gone into the Pentagon. You're supposed to be up to have a certain kind of, but his head officer in Europe, they got along so well and liked his work, so he got him into the Pentagon. And he says, for a long time, he had to have a map in order to find his office.
Way around. You must be proud that he was able to do
that. Well, obviously, I had him now.
Yes. Oh, yes. And then you have a daughter?
Yes, she lives in Seattle. She has 5 children.
Do you have a...
Of course, the youngest one is 23 now, pretty soon.
The youngest grandchild? Do you have great-grandchildren then?
One.
One great-grandchild. What's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Bonita Foster.
Did you ever work away from home then? Did you
ever have worked all my life.
Yeah.
After I came to Portland, of course, did housework and all that for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then my husband got sick, and it was up to me to make a living. And I figured I could do bookkeeping, but it meant I had to be away from home when the children came home from school. Mm-hmm. And I figured I saw so much of that. Mm-hmm. And I had so many other people's children in my house because it was cold. Mm-hmm. And all that, so I didn't like that. And I figured out, I started to manage apartments. Mm-hmm. So I managed different kinds, am I talking too much?
No.
managed apartments, one and then another. Then one of the men that I worked for, managing apartment, he became manager of Portland Housing Authorities. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me to come to work there. So then I left the regular apartment managing and I worked at Portland Housing, and I managed three projects. I opened up all but one project in the Multnomah County.
Oh, my.
A lot of experience.
Oh, yeah.
And that was very, I could write books on that stuff.
Oh.
And the only one I didn't was St. John's Wood. I've never been down there, but I opened everyone in Multnomah County. And got all these people and got them organized. Then when we quit having them opening up anymore, then I managed three projects.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson Street Home, Fur Court, and Fessenden Court.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
Then did you retire?
Then I worked there. Then my husband thought I'd work. I got married while I was working there.
Uh-huh.
And then he thought I'd work, you know, too long enough. I could come home and take
uh-huh.
it easy. Well, he'd been living, been a widower, you know, for a long time. He'd been living in this house. And, well, he had a woman come and clean once in a while, but you know, I never worked so hard in my life as I came.
He said you should quit working, so you came home to work.
And then we remodeled this house, and I worked. Then my daughter got married, and his son got married. And then I had all those grandchildren. Sometimes I have had four of them here at a time.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't so fun. It's nice to remember. And I feel this way. I was strong and healthy. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to do that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think we have work we have to do in this world, and we have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit off balance, I don't know.
Oh, no. Have you belonged to a church?
I always go to church.
Mm-hmm. What church?
And right now I go to Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm.
On 39.
Are there other Scandinavians that belong to that?
Oh, there are a few, mm-hmm. not too many. Well, there's all nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little ways up here.
Uh-huh. Have you belonged to other Scandinavian groups or clubs?
I belong to Sons of Norway right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you said your first husband had sung with the Norwegian...
Yeah, he used to sing, because we had, you know, auxiliaries, you know,
uh-huh.
I worked with that.
Uh-huh.
And,
but what group did he sing with?
He sang with what they call the Multnomah Male Chorus, or the Norwegian singers.
Mm-hmm.
He sang here, and he sang in Astoria, and his...
Mm-hmm. What years was that he was there?
Well, he died in 1950. He was 52, he died in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
He was before that time.
Mm-hmm. Have you been back to Norway?
Twice.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
Well, the first time was 50 years, and from a 9 to 50, that was quite a long change.
Uh-huh.
It was quite a lot different. Found that most everybody talked, not my generation, but like my next generation, everybody's English practically.
Mm-hmm.
We'd walk down the street, the two of us, and we stopped to get some instructions on where to get to a place, and they'd answer us in English.
Do you still have contact with family there?
Oh yeah, I get letters from Norway.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the Norwegians?
Describe it?
Yeah, the Norwegians, the people. What?
Oh.
Well, how would you describe it?
A bunch of dumbbells. No, I don't know. Everything's so different than from what I knew about it and what my mother told me about it. You know, they were always hard, had to work. They were wealthy people, but not most of them were. It was a struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know, make ends meet and different things like that. But now it's not that way. They've got oil,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's getting pretty smart,
mm-hmm.
and dressed fancy, and
mm-hmm.
and because us old ones like me, we learn to save every piece of material and everything,
mm-hmm.
and make it over, and use it, and no more of that kind of business back there.
How important has it been to you, your Norwegian heritage? Has it been significant to you?
I don't know. When we first came here, we didn't hear very much about Norwegians. We were all Swedes.
Mm-hmm.
at that time, that's why that they had that war between Norway and Sweden at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Norway and Sweden had the same king, the Swedish king. Naturally, the Norwegian people had to pay taxes to the king and all that. And you don't blame the Swedes, because they like to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they had to send ambassadors. But this is my opinion. I don't know if this is the truth, but this is the way I look at it. It may be all crazy. But most all the ambassadors that were sent were Swedish people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure they took care of the business as well for Norway as they did for themselves, for Sweden. But I think the Norwegians figured there was, maybe they had somebody that could do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess by 1905 they figured they probably were well enough to do. They wanted their own king. Because,
mm-hmm.
well, you can't blame somebody said, okay, we want our own king now. Okay, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't want to. They want to keep it because you were a good income.
Well, of course. I'll have to turn this tape over, so we'll stop for just a moment. All right.
Well, so they decided then to, you know, that they wanted to have their own king. Well, finally, but you know, it's just like Oregon and Washington. If California came against Oregon and Washington, would go as one.
Mm-hmm.
And if some other country had gone against Norway, Sweden would have come and helped. If the other way, Norway would have come and helped. So, you know, and it was, they didn't despise each other or anything like that. The Swedish people, I think, were wealthier because they have a more farm country and stuff like that to make money than they do
mm-hmm.
had in Norway. But when the decision came, they went on all day long. The soldiers marched on, you know, guards on each side, and at night they sat and played cards together.
Together, the Norwegian.
And finally, to my knowledge, the way it was told me, that they took a piece of paper and went down the streets of Stockholm and said, "Are you, if you put your name on here, if you want to, willing to kill a Norwegian?" And they couldn't get any names on there, or something
mm-hmm.
to that effect,
yeah,
you know, like that. So they decided they'd let the Norwegians have their own king,
mm-hmm.
And then they changed the name of the capital to Oslo. It was
mm-hmm.
Christiania before that time,
mm-hmm.
and that was. It was Christiania because Norway was under supervision of Denmark for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Denmark and Sweden had a little disagreement, and Denmark lost, and they just gave Norway to Sweden for
mm-hmm.
payment something, and something like that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you still use Norwegian?
Speak no?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I can snuck in us, glass in us, scrive in us.
What does that mean?
I can talk, write, and read.
Uh-huh. Does your daughter speak any Norwegian?
What?
Does your daughter speak any Norwegian?
Not too much. She said, the last time I went to Norway, I took her with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I bet if I'd been here about 3 more weeks, I could have caught on to everything.
Uh-huh.
She heard a lot of it.
Yes.
And she had to take it when she went to St. Olaf's College.
Mm-hmm.
If your parents were Scandinavian, you had to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And because she didn't go for anything else, she wanted to go and sing.
Uh-huh.
And her youngest daughter, she took Norwegian at the University of Washington.
Oh.
So
she
talks nice Norwegian.
Uh-huh. Does your family have reunions sometimes? Does your family have reunions sometimes? Do you have any other relatives here in America besides your daughter? Do you have anyone else that came from Norway
now? Well, I have all my sisters and brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
you see them?
My first husband had a brother, but he's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're practically The biggest, we have some cousins back east, but I don't, I've lost contact with them the last years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you say a prayer or a song or a saying in your language?
Sing I can't, okay. I'm a monotone.
Okay, what about, do you have a saying that you like?
Or I can say the Lord's Prayer and
all
right.
Yeah.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
Father, Lord, do some ari himmel, heavenly, the word of it now, till come the Savior. Say then will some periods of some of him.
Okay, well that's most of it, isn't it?
No, I say it every day.
Uh-huh. But it's different when you're saying it with the tape recorder, isn't it?
Let me see. Okay, I have to start over.
Okay.
Want me to start over?
Usually you don't. Do you know? Do you have it now?
I think.
Okay.
Well, I'll go. I'll say now. It won't hear again. Then we'll lift.
Okay.
The Father, Lord, do some ad himmel, telling the word that now till come of the Savior. Share the vision of my himmel, so all for your good. You must be down with our living brother. Allow us for sure. The river of our sugar. Let us take you the first of the troubles for the only the different thing that my other. Now I'm going to say something to you now that I want to go on. I read the Bible in English. I study everything in English. I fold up my book, turn off my light, and I say my prayer in English. But I always say the Lord's Prayer in Norwegian every single night. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny?
Isn't that something? It's the state. Yes. Uh-huh. All right, there's it. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? That's most of the questions that I have.
Well, I've had a very interesting life. Mm-hmm. You know, I've tackled many funny things. Mm-hmm. Like I took census one year, mm-hmm. and I found that very interesting, very many interesting incidents, mm-hmm. and. I've demonstrated, been a demonstrator for about 20 years for a company in Minneapolis, in fact two companies, mm-hmm. and Nortland Aluminum Company. Ever?
No.
I've demonstrated in Tacoma and Seattle, mm-hmm. all the way from Seattle to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. What is that? What do they make?
It's a Scandinavian baking.
Oh.
Krumkaka.
Oh.
And Ebelskiver, Rosas. Mm-hmm. And I was the first one that started that in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And when the Nordland Aluminum wants to put out this bundt cakes,
uh-huh.
And when they put on the bundt pan, the mix, you know, we made it out of the regular cake, mm-hmm. before, then they start to. Then they introduced that by the, like in California in, mm-hmm. May, Oregon in June, July in Washington. Well, when it was in Oregon, I introduced it through all of Fred Meyer's, mm-hmm. all the Safeway stores.
And
demonstrated.
A Norwegian baker, huh?
Oh. And I've done that for about almost 20 years, mm-hmm. now. I haven't done it. I had one demonstration last year, mm-hmm. but I thought when I was past 85 I should quit. But once in a while they want something special and I will do it. Mm-hmm. Like last year they had a city deal and then they asked me to come to Laurelhurst Park, mm-hmm. and I got fancy papers. Mm-hmm. Some mayor and governor signed it. Well, uh-huh. But they paid me good too.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I worked for the Sons of Norway. I was finance secretary for 11 years, mm-hmm. treasurer for 2 years, and I worked on the district board for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been to several of the conventions in Chicago, mm-hmm. and Minneapolis, California, mm-hmm. so I've done a lot of things like that, mm-hmm. and going out for good times.
Well, good. I see you have there's a large painting here on the wall that's so beautiful. That looks like a scene from Norway.
That's my husband's home.
Oh, it is.
And it's just a painting that doesn't amount to much. Well, a nephew of his painted it, and he's a commercial artist more so than this kind.
Well, that's very nice.
That white one up is the house. This used to be the house, and then they turned that into a barn and built a new house.
I see. Well, fine then. I'd like to thank you very much for
this
interview.
Well, how about, would you like a cup of coffee?
Oh, I'd love that.
I got some left there.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, thank you very much.